The warnings from Obama administration officials were dire, and yet the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives voted to override the president's veto of a 9/11 bill that would allow victims' families to sue Saudi Arabia. After all, the overwhelming majority of hijackers on that fateful day were Saudis, and ever since the role of the Saudi royals themselves has been questioned. Now it is a wait-and-see game as to how the Saudis react. Will they remove billions of dollars in assets from the U.S. as they had threatened? What of other Persian Gulf Arab countries who have vowed to support the kingdom? It will also be seen if the removal of sovereign immunity will result in reciprocal action by others to hold Americans to account, thus endangering U.S. assets and interests overseas. That and a lot more in this debate. Let me now introduce our guests for this debate. We're joined by the managing editor and columnist at Veterans Day, Mr. Jim W. Dean, who is joining us live from Atlanta. And we're also joined by the president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane, who is joining us live from Washington. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Mr. Lane, I'll start with you. How do you feel about the Senate and House override of Obama's veto, thus allowing 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think it's extraordinary on a number of different fronts. The first is that this is the first of Obama's vetoes that has been overridden by the Congress in his entire two terms in office. That's a record that has been unmatched by really any other modern president at all. The second thing is the substance of the legislation itself. Because of the way we write laws here in the United States for them to apply not to a specific country, but in broadly general, this will be our new policy. What the Congress has done is opened up for purposes of allowing the families of 9/11 victims their opportunity to take Saudi Arabia to court. What they've done is they've opened up the entire world to this kind of lawsuit when terrorism is involved or alleged to be involved. This has the potential for the other countries around the world to retaliate against the United States, and we could find ourselves and individuals in court in foreign capitals and things like that as a result of this, defending ourselves against charges both accurate and perhaps not so accurate. So it's really an extraordinary step in terms of the override of the president's veto in terms of the substance of the whole thing. The next step, obviously, would appear to be Saudi Arabia. How will they react? I suspect that there will be some quiet diplomacy in the waning days of the administration, the Obama administration, as they figure out how to mitigate and minimize the potential damage that might be done to the United States-Saudi relationship. But certainly, this is a giant step in the direction of the end of the special relationship that has existed between those two countries.
Okay, Mr. Dean, do you agree with that? Is this the end of the special relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia?
Oh, I don't think it's the end by far, but we're sure heading into a rocky road. And I would agree with Mr. Lane that certainly this is going to open up the U.S. citizens, U.S. companies, and especially these defense contractors that the U.S. has used in a lot of their war on terror work, who have done some very, very nasty things to a lot of people overseas. It could end up being literally a shooting gallery for bringing cases against these people. But the key thing, which I don't find too many people working on here, is it's really focusing all the attention on Saudi Arabia was responsible for 9/11. And the families deserve justice. And I don't think that's fair to the country, because more than the families of the victims were hurt during 9/11. The United States country, we lost several trillions of dollars have been lost through this. We had a lot of our freedoms taken away. So I really don't think that the family should get all the attention. And then, of course, if they were really concerned, they had another way, which was much be more fair to everybody, and they never pushed for a new investigation, a real investigation of what really happened on 9/11, where testimony would be under oath. So I blame the families for not stepping up to the plate there, because we had a totally fraudulent situation there. I haven't met anybody that really believes that the 9/11 Commission wasn't rigged from the beginning. So the family's really laid down here, and what they've shown is they could have an interest of, they see some money here, and Congress was not willing to step up in an election year and deny that to them. And our big concern is, you would never have a country like Saudi Arabia get involved in a 9/11 type project with 15 of their own nationals involved, who obviously were going to get killed or captured and would obviously look like they were involved. No country would be so stupid as to use their own people in an operation like this. But we can talk about that later. What this is also doing is letting the real perpetrators of 9/11 get away, because this is another smokescreen for them.
Okay, so Mr. Lane, you know, the families of the 9/11 victims have obviously praised this decision, and they have said that they're, you know, going on what Mr. Dean there has said, they're looking for the truth and for who's really behind 9/11. That's one of the statements that have come out, I believe, of the families together. Will this uncover the truth, do you think?
I doubt it, no. First, let me say that I agree with Mr. Dean that I lost that train of thought. Let me go right to your question. Mr. Dean's comment that I agree with will come back to me. No, I don't think this will uncover the truth. I don't think that the Saudis are going to be particularly cooperative in U.S. courts with the way things are going on. We're not really going to get much closer to the truth than we are now. I think there's probably already been a U.S. government investigation that has uncovered the truth. And I think that Mr. Dean is right. This is my point I was going to make in the beginning. He's right in that it's probably not going to be evident. It probably doesn't exist that officially the government of Saudi Arabia was involved in this. I think we will find that there were certain individuals who acted in a rogue status, or perhaps the Saudi government looked the other way without necessarily understanding everything that was going on. But they would be unlikely to use their own people for an operation such as that. It just makes more sense to make the trail a little smokier and difficult to follow. So I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of it. I think that there will be a lot of diplomatic effort to continue to cover up whatever the real story will be. I think there will be settlements reached. I don't think that the people that the families, the lawyers for the families, that they would want to get involved in the American judicial system and depose them and get their statements under oath is unlikely to ever happen. So what we will do is we will have a circumstance where there will be a quiet settlement that will take care financially of the families of the victims of 9/11, but it doesn't really advance the ball tremendously further or make it totally open in terms of our understanding of exactly how 9/11 came about.
Okay, so Mr. Dean, let's talk, if we can, about the repercussions here, because, you know, Obama's administration officials, all of them pretty much across the board, warned, you know, had dire warnings. National security is at risk. And obviously the Saudis themselves have said they'll pull out upwards of $700 billion of assets that they have in the United States. Are the Saudis bluffing? Is there genuinely a risk now to the national security of the United States?
I think there is in several ways. The Saudis are bluffing in a couple of ways. They really can't liquidate their whole position in the United States because they would drive the value of their positions down if they just started a fire sale. The same thing would happen with China. If they were to start selling huge amounts of treasury bills, that would drive the value down. If they were to drive the dollar down, they would lose hundreds of billions of dollars in reserves that they're holding. So that's primarily to grab media headlines. But long term is you have to really worry about if Saudi Arabia got really mad, the other issues that it could get involved with, particularly with terrorism, because there are many of us here, particularly at Veterans Today, that know the U.S. has been working closely with Saudi Arabia in the Gulf countries in supporting their jihadi and their terrorist activities in Saudi Arabia. And the Saudi Arabia knows about some of the terrorist boiler rooms that the U.S. has running in the Balkans and places like the Chechens in Georgia. So they are in a position to leak and put out more than a little material about the U.S. involved in aiding and abetting terrorism. And this could create, without them getting involved directly, they could just leak this material out to certain news organizations, and the U.S. could find itself up to its eyeballs in alligators. This is an area where they've all been involved with it. All of the major Western countries that have major intelligence agencies, all of them are involved in using proxy terrorist organizations. France is the biggest violator in Africa. They primarily use this in areas of where they had former colonial influence. So this could really open up a can of peas and spin out of control, which some people would really like to see it happen.
Okay, so Mr. Lane, what do you think will be the repercussions? How angry do you think the Saudis are right now?
Well, they're angry, clearly. They didn't want it to come to this, but I don't think they're going to take any immediate action that's going to be significant or irreversible. They may announce a few moves, measures that will not come to fruition immediately. They know they can work with the Obama administration for the next 3.5 months until it's out. And so therefore, I think they're just going to play that hand of working with the Obama administration to see how the results of this veto override can be mitigated, how the damages can be smoothed over. The real question becomes, who wins the election in November here in the United States? And when they take office in January, what is their policy vis-a-vis Saudi Arabia in general and vis-a-vis this issue in particular going to be? I think that, you know, the Saudis will bide their time until they get a new president to deal with, and then their actions will be dependent on what the attitude of the new administration is. I mean, right now the Saudis are tied to us for a couple of years in the future. They have, in the Obama administration, there was some $115 billion worth of arms that Obama has sold to them, much of which hasn't been delivered yet, and is in the pipeline for delivery over the next several years. The Saudis will clearly be interested in receiving that and not going to do anything to jeopardize that. But at the same time, they may just start looking around the globe to see if there are other suppliers. Remember, it's not just this issue where the Saudis don't trust us, but they also have begun not to trust us on a number of other issues, questioning our reliability, particularly vis-a-vis the Iran nuclear deal, which, as you know, or our viewers know, Saudi Arabia was wholly and completely against.
Okay, so Mr. Dean, I'm wondering then, when we talk about the Saudis and how they've acted towards the United States when it comes since the Iranian nuclear deal, obviously, and they've been quite angry, and they've gotten all their Persian Gulf friends on board, the Arab friends on board. I wonder, has the relationship changed irreversibly? Because, you know, it is a sign, isn't it, that so many lawmakers would vote essentially against Saudi Arabia, wouldn't it?
Really was a surprise. I mean, 97 to 1 vote in the Senate. I would have lost a $100 bet on that quickly. But then again, all I could think of is part of it had to do with the way this was handled initially. You had the Bush regime was very secretive of the plane load of the Saudis that flew out on 9/11, the bin Laden family. They put a wall of silence around the Saudi involvement, which really just raised people's suspicions. And then we had the situation where the rocky situation with Saudi Arabia, as Mr. Lane has just mentioned, with the Iran a nuclear agreement, which they were very, very bitter. But the danger for us there comes back to Syria. We think of veterans today, to have the Saudis be as quiet as they were toward the end of the nuclear agreement resolution with Iran, the U.S. had to promise the royal family something. And we think that was is that they would work with them to overthrow Assad so that they could get their pipeline through northern Syria to the Gulf and undercut Russian oil and gas supplies to the EU long term. And that would be like a financial compensation to Saudi Arabia and also Qatar with the big gas fields. And it would cut Iran off from having the ability to sell those and have those huge incomes, which could, over a decade, two decades, could build Iran into a real financial powerhouse with its technical base. And here we are now, where Saudi Arabia is angry again because it looks like they may not get their promised deal of balkanizing Syria, and Saudi Arabia basically having North Syria as a colony to itself.
Okay, so Mr. Lane, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, President Obama said that this was a political move. That was one of his words when he reacted to this override. But then I'm wondering, again, that 97-1 number, that's overwhelming. Is this just partisan politics, or is this genuinely a symbol that the relationship is changing?
Well, it's certainly not partisan politics. When you get a 97-1 vote, I similarly would have lost that $100 bet against that. No, but members of both political parties in the Senate and in the House voted overwhelmingly to side with American families and their pursuit of the truth against the Saudi government, that more so than standing with the president in his desire to protect the Saudi government from this kind of exposure. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's already efforts in the Senate to, quote, clean up the bill in the lame duck session, which will happen immediately following the election, that the Congress will come back and there will be efforts to restrict it or tighten it up or limit it only to this particular event, and not to expose Americans and other nationals to legal action in the United States. This is something that I really doubt will come to fruition, but there are some pretty influential senators who are binding together now in an effort to make that happen. I think that as far as the relationship with United States and Saudi moving forward is, we're tied together on certain things. I mentioned the ongoing arms deals that will be delivered over the next several years. There's our economies intertwined, there's investment, there's all kinds of things. It is not within the ability of Saudi Arabia to disentangle all of that stuff now because of the weakness of their own economy, because of the weakness of the oil market. But over time, I would expect, depending on what kind of relationship they can establish with the new president next year, I would expect the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to start evaluating their options. And instead of having all their eggs in the United States basket, they're going to look around and see how many other friends they can make around the globe, because their experience with the Obama administration in their eyes has not been a positive one.
Okay, so Mr. Dean, you know, Mr. Lander mentioned that as well, but reciprocal action, which is something that that President Obama has also mentioned as a result of this override, saying that, you know, now Americans are now vulnerable if other countries also, you know, cancel their sovereign immunity laws, such as essentially this bill does to an extent, obviously with Saudi Arabia. Would that necessarily be a bad thing, though? I'm standing obviously outside the United States, so to us looking from the outside in, wouldn't it be good to see somebody holding Americans to account?
There are a lot of us that would salute that, particularly for the Syrian people and those in Ukraine, and particularly in Donbass, just to start. The amount of subpoena evidence that could be gotten not only on what the U.S. did, but they did trying to work what they think is being slick and using these cutouts with these third party and defense contractors. That if you could get a legal mechanism that could get around these quasi-immunities, that they've hidden a lot of this stuff, the world public would really find some shocking things and get this using proxy, particularly proxy terrorist groups, and then even proxy ex-veterans, ex-intelligence people to work with these defense contractors and do all kinds of really horrible things, you know, major international crimes that the U.S. doesn't really have their fingerprints on other than paying them. And there's a lot of people that would love to see that become public so that it could be ended, because we see that as a main threat to all of us, regime change using veterans, ex-intelligence people under this quasi-immunity where they can go out and do horrible things, particularly using proxy terrorists, and then completely get away with it, go home, sleep at night, and they're never worried about being prosecuted in the future.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll leave that as our final word, but of course we do appreciate both of your contributions to this conversation. That was managing editor and columnist at Veterans Today, Mr. Jim W. Dean, who is speaking to us live from Atlanta. And we were also joined by the president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane, who had been speaking to us live from Washington. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.